Welcome. I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi, if you're new to this morning. This morning, senior pastor here. Happy Father's Day. Edgar's a great guy. I love him. And he responded, he goes, I just want to say something about fathers. I said, all right, sounds good, you know. I want to thank Ed, but it made me think of this statement, Ed. There's a statement that's been rumbling in my head. Ever have something just rumble in your head all week? Like, it just, you can't get away from it, just there. This is the statement that's been rumbling in my head all week. It can apply to Father's Day, probably. I'm a professional counselor, so I know it applies to Father's Day. But it can apply to a lot of things in our life, and it's very simple. And it's this statement: what you never say never gets heard. What you never say never gets... They know I love them. What you never say never gets heard. Or, I wish I would have said, don't do that, because that's the last time I saw them. They're going to something stupid, and I should have said something stinky. What you never say never gets heard. Think about all the things you never said. Man, Father's Day crushes my soul. I'm an orphan. So I think of things I never said. I think we should live our life a little different than that. I think this is the season we say things. Right? If God gives you something, you're like, I'm going to say it. Pray about it first, because that looks awful steamed up right there. Just filter that through Jesus. But maybe it needs to be said too. Right? Well, 100% of things we never say never get heard. Sometimes that's how he speaks to me. And all week long, I've been trying, like, Lord, how do I apply that? And I thought I'd share it with you guys, because I feel like it's the season he's kind of digging deeper wells in most of your lives. I don't get to talk to you all the time, but I feel like it's a season as pastor, you know, I'll look at you as like sheep, but I look out there, I go, how's things going in their life? I'm praying, I'm seeing your little faces, I'm praying. And I feel like this is the common thread when I'm praying for you. He's digging something deeper in your life than you've had before. And it's a little uncomfortable, but you know it's important. Anybody raise your hand, because I know that's what I feel it. So today is interesting. I'm going to pray us in, and I'm going to start going back into Jesus's red letter words. Because before someone's going to go away, they say real important things. And first Sunday, I thought, like, man, that's important stuff. That's heavy stuff. And then this week is right along that motif. So, Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit would just dig our wells. Lord, where it's been hard ground, I ask you to soften it right up. Lord, where we've been stubborn to not let you dig, just dig there. Lord, bring us that water that gives us life. Breathe on us fresh this year as your church, that we, Father, would be such a container of water that we could water other people with our lives. Do that in the people of New Season, Lord God, and the churches at Apache Junction this year, Father, like never before. I ask in Jesus' name, and the church said amen. All right, let's recap with some points in case we forgot what we learned already. Go ahead. No, you're good. Stay with me, kid. Remain in him. Say, remain in him. Remain in him. Remain in. Expect pruning. Expect pruning. Maybe he's going to prune you. No, he is. You can expect it. It's better to expect things. Like, we went to this thing last night. It was wonderful. But Dr. Hyde didn't prepare me, because first he had to say, it's Saturday night and we're going out. I know we are. I don't go out on Saturday night. If it's after 5 o'clock, I'm home. He says, no, we're going out. We are. Where are we going? Like, you know, Jordan's house, see Justice Cheyenne, kids. We're going to Tempe. Tempe on a Saturday night? Uh-huh. And there's going to be a lot of people there. I love you. Happy birthday, Heidi. You know? But if she didn't prepare me, just said, just get in the car, I wouldn't have gone. But as soon as we hit past power, I said, pull over. I don't like what's happening. You know, so it's good to expect things. So if you've served Jesus, if you love Jesus more than a minute, and he's forgiven you and set you free and cleansed you from some of the most horrific things in your life, and you're eternally grateful, know this, too. He loves you so much, he's going to prune more stuff off of you so you can produce fruit. So we should expect pruning. Okay. Pruning produces good fruit, right? He's not just mean. He's not just snapping stuff off your lights like, ha-ha. No, he's doing good stuff. He's a good dad. This next one's tough, though. Not to remain in him is taking a horrific risk, according to Jesus. You can start out with him, but if you don't remain in him, it says you're like a branch cut off from the vine. You can't produce anything. He said, and all that that's really good for is fire pit. This last one, too. Say obedience is key. Oh, wait a minute. Now say it again, but smile. Even if you don't feel it, I want you to smile. Say obedience is key. There you go. Good. You guys were unconvincing as anything. Next slide. Do all you can to remain close to Jesus to keep from abandoning your faith. You can abandon your faith when things are hard. If you don't know him, I've gone through some hard things, like really hard things. As the senior pastor of this church for over 20 years, there's been some hard things. But you don't remain close to him, right? It's trouble. Do all you can to remain close to Jesus to keep you from abandoning your faith. Next. True disciples produce fruit. True disciples produce fruit. Go ahead, Chantel. Keep rolling through them. The church's job is to testify about Jesus with, test about Jesus with the way we live. I'll pause there dramatically and scour the crowd like this, but see nobody. The way we live and with our words. So we got to watch what we say and how we say it, and it's important, right? The next one's your favorite. Obedience is still key. Yeah. Okay. Next one. Expect some kind of persecution sometimes when you live for God and his ways. Anybody ever had persecution when you start like your life started changing and people were like, and it could be persecution like picking on you, you know, mocking you. My friends were relentless to the point where we did become friends for a while, you know, relentless. When you do stuff God's way, you stick out a little bit sometimes. Next one's the most important one. A direct relationship with God the Father is possible. That's what Jesus came to show us. Like that's, he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Man, that's wonderful by itself. But he also made this last part of his message before the cross. Said, listen, a direct relationship with God the Father is possible. He wants it. That's mind-blowing. Can you believe that? It's all the things God has to think about. He could talk to you all day. Like, think about what's going on in the world today. Think about it. Oh, God's busy. He's in Israel right now. I just talked to him this morning. Like, that's amazing to me. I never want to make that familiar. If you got somebody in your life that you think they're so awesome, but then you just become familiar with them, before you know it, they don't treat them the same. And God, that happens to God a lot. He'll do awesome things for us. He'll do things that sometimes we just get so familiar with, we can talk to him whenever we want to. Right? God's good. Let's jump into Jesus' red letters in chapter 17 of John. Chapter 17 of John. John 17, 1 through 5 in the New Living says this. After saying all these things, we just talked about all those lists of things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. I'm just going to pause there. Keep the scripture up for me, Chantal. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. Is that why we want glory? When we pray for glory, is it so we can give God glory? Honestly, if we pray for like, I want that big truck so I glorify God. You bet, I'm going to get a license plate to God's my co-pilot. Boom. Right? I'm gonna get ripped this year. I'm like, oh, why? Glorify God. I'll be posting up in this beach and going, look at God did. Yeah, are we? Like, we got to think about it. Why do we want the blessings we want? Is it solely, mostly, at times, for us? Or do we think, hey, I really like to glorify you. I'll do something with this. I watched this girl paint last night. She got a talent. She glorified God with her talent. It was wonderful. It says, for you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life. Say, next, look, west side, you're over here, you're slim. You're right. Look over east side. Say, y'all pay attention. Y'all pay attention. Haley's got a hat on. I gotta say, y'all. Y'all pay attention. This is the way to have eternal life. To know you, All right. We're going to pull that scripture off, and I'm going to give you a definition, and we'll pull that scripture back up, I think. So I've got a slide there. That word to know means this, to know. To come to know, a process of continuing getting to know, to get knowledge of, to perceive, or to feel. Like there's a spiritual or an emotional connection to this knowing. It's not just like I know that fact. It's not a math. There's a connection to this knowing. To understand, this is a mature audience, Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. To get to know on every level the depth of who God is. He wants, that's the only thing he can relate it to. I don't know how to talk about how much I want to get to know you. I want it to be like the greatest connection of your soul that you've ever had. And I want you to pursue that with me on a regular basis. You got to get to know me that way. That changes the word to know, doesn't it? Like that's an investment. That's a relationship investment. That's a regular, you need to take time to get to know someone like that. Right? Deeply experience him, to know him more. He talks about married people a lot in that situation, being like worship, deeply knowing him. John 17, 1 through 5, pull it back up for me, Chantel. To know Jesus, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent on earth. Know what I love about this passage? Jesus slips right into the third person here. He talks about himself. I love that. In you know, Jesus, who your son, who I am, Jesus. So he's going third person there, and I love it. It's a big takeaway, if you think about it this way. If you desire eternal life, then Jesus said this. You have to really know, in the depth of your soul, know him, or it's not going to happen. That changes how church looks. That changes how church acts. That changes how I read my Bible. That changes how I pray. That changes my relationships. That changes everything. And what he's saying is, that's how I want to know you. Abba. We sang it this morning. Pastor Justin crushed it. Abba. I belong to you. He's looking for that relationship, that depth. Right. He says, I brought you glory. I brought glory to you here on earth. By completing the work you gave me to do, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. When I hear that, there's a good brother of mine I grew up in the church with, and whenever he'd hear something that he liked that Bishop Pierce preached, he would say something like, there's something about that. Every time, something about that. A regular, I mean, something about that. You know, and so I heard his voice this week. Like, sometimes when Hondo gets something, he'll go, come on. And I'm like, I'm coming. Bam. Go ahead. I just needed one, you know. But there's something about that. Say, there's something about that. Yeah. So there's something about completing the work he gave you to do. Instead of asking for more work. Or different work. Or no work. You don't know much, I think, about the Pines. I think about it. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. That relationship was before the world began. We got a taste of it, but it started a long time ago. John 17, 6 through 8. I have revealed you. Say, I'm the church. It's my job to reveal God to others. That's my job now, to reveal God to others. Reveal you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours because you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Say, there's something about that. And they kept your word. Say, there's something about that. And they kept your word. That's not always easy. Anybody have a hard time with that sometimes? There's something like, man, yeah, that's why Dr. Honey rarely lets me drive on the 60. She's like, I'm worried about your anger level. I said, I'm fine. She goes, you tell every driver what they should be doing because they need to know. They can't hear you, but I need to tell them. So she drives. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them. I passed on to them the message you gave me. So I am the church. Now, yeah. And they accepted it, and they know that it came from you, and have believed that you sent me. It's time to know him like that again. Like that's part of your deep well this year. Like your relationship with God's going to get deeper this year if that's what you're looking for. Because he's looking for it. I feel prophetic in this message to say to you, he is looking for that this year. He's not like, well, if he would have said it, we wouldn't. No, he's saying it. He's just using me right now, but he's saying he wants a relationship deeper than you have with him. And you could have a deep relationship with him. But he's saying, I want to know you more this year. I hope you feel that because that's your father saying to you, I want to know you. And I want you to know me. Not like the textbook, not like people around you. Like you got a little taste of Jesus and a little taste of brother so-and-so. Pastor, who did you, what's it? No, I want you to know me. And I want you to seek me. Why? Because it's the most important thing you need to do. Why is that? Because if you don't know me like that, then I don't know you. Jesus got big things to say. Red letters. John 17, 9 through 10. My prayer is not for the world. What? Doesn't that kind of blow your mind? Jesus prays for the world. He's always. That's all he does. He sits on his throne and prays for the world. Not here. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they may bring me glory. That's the church's job. Not to get the glory. Wow. You know, that we're the most, you got to go down the dog track, right? This is the most happening place. You can't even sit down. The music team, worship team slamming, which they are. Worship team slamming. And yeah, you should see, you know, pastor is so handsome. You just got to come. I don't know. It's none of that, right? You just can't do it. It's not about any of those things. If God's presence isn't here, I have no desire to be here. I have no desire to pastor anything. I have a desire for a hammock in northern Arizona. Something about that. You know, something about that. Something about that. I got a slide, I think. How much glory is he getting from me? Like me personally. You personally. Point to that slide. Everybody, say I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I promise. Jesus with the Father continued in John 17, 11 through 12. Now I'm departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you've given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. Wait, what? I want my disciples to be so connected to you that it's like you and I are connected. I want to be that connected to you so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you've given me. I guarded them. Not one of them was lost except. Not one of them was lost except the one headed for destruction. The scriptures told me it was going to happen. They should have been blindsided. Often I'm blindsided. Say, stay united. Now, when I hear all this thing from Jesus, when I hear all this love, this is where I cross the line off. And this is where I'm about to possibly be offensive or your best friend. I don't know. But it encouraged me because last night I saw another thing. This girl was painting and telling her story, and it's amazing and horrible and redemptive. But she's talking about the first picture she painted when she just got some freedom. And she painted this picture of Bob Marley. And I'll tell you what, I don't try to bring a lot of secular music in here, but I want to say this. I sing secular songs, sure. But I mean, you don't hear me playing, cranking out tunes. But you should know this, Bob Marley got saved. Check out, and before that, if you listen to his music, he was headed there, and that's what drew me, because I was messed up, and I heard how Jesus died for me, and I didn't hear Christian music. I heard Mr. Marley talking about Jesus Christ. So this morning, I feel in a lot of love from Jesus right here. I'm feeling him loving us. It's harsh for the world, but he's saying, I want you to know my dad like I do. I want you to be so close. I'm like, you are family. So I tried to play a song clip. I want you to, if you're offended, just pretend to sing along and you can yell at me later. If you're not, sing along, because I want you to hear it like your relationship with God. Not, you got it? No, it's not good. Can't do it. It's okay. It's technical difficulty Sunday. I'm good. It's fine. It's fine. I'm going to get some people to sing it with me. Right? But not right now. We'll do it later. We'll do it. No, we'll do it later. I don't want to cause a problem, you know? Yeah. All right, we can do it. Say, is this love, is this love, is this love that I'm feeling? When you're with your dad, your father in heaven, it's not cold, and it's not distant, and it's not omnipotent at that moment. It's okay to feel his presence in your life. If you don't feel him, I'm inviting you. It's not the most important thing. Hearing him is the most important thing. I'm going to talk about that next week. Hearing him is the most important. Better than seeing him, hearing him is more important. He says it. I didn't. But there comes a point in your life, I hope you get to feel God's presence in your life. Feel his love for you. Like when he forgave me, I was shocked. I would not forgive me. I'd have executed me. And he said, you're going to have to die. But I love you so much. I'm going to wipe all that away. Man, is this love that I'm feeling? You bet. I was feeling it. And you would have sang with me with Bob, but we couldn't do it today. It's technical difficulties. Say this. Say, stay united. John 17, 13 through 15. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. He told them many things. And I was just thinking about that thing that was popping around my head, 100% of what we don't say never gets heard. And I was thinking about that. With this, I think that often we say things and we do our best to say things and they still don't get heard. Ever have those kind of relationships? Ever have children? Yeah, it happens. It's a process they go through, right? It is. I think I was hearing that from my father this week. I'm saying things. Are you hearing me? I keep saying it. Why are you so blindsided? I keep telling you this is going to have to. I keep telling you I'm after this. I keep trying to prune that. I keep trying. Whatever he's doing, whatever he's digging, he's saying, I've been speaking. I've been saying many things to you. Are you hearing me? Right. I have given them your word, and the world hates them. Hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Man, how great would that be? The moment you just, boom, paradise, love it. Boom, there I am. How you doing, Moses? How's the surfing? Awesome. I love it. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Do I have a slide? Lord, keep us safe too. Do our job for you. Keep us safe to bring you glory. Often, and it's okay to keep us safe. I was praying safety for Jazz, safety for the analyst. Safety. So pray for safety. But majority of safety prayers are, please bring the girls home from Uganda. Safe and sound, all in one piece, unscathed with miracle reports. Amen. That's my safety prayers. But if I thought about it a better way, bring them home from Uganda, they could tell us about the miracles that they did to bring you glory and how those some children came to know you because some girl took her money or time, came and washed her feet and gave her shoes. Lord, that keep them safe to bring you glory. That helps me change my prayer focus a little bit, just a smidgen, though. John 17, 16 through 19. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. That's where the clothing line came from. Never see the not of this world? Except from the line. Make them holy by your truth. Make them holy by your truth. You know what the truth often does in my life when I read it? It's the thing that prunes me. Because I have an opinion of how I'd like to live my life sometimes. And then when I run into the truth, it's like a sawzall. Let's get that off there. Man, that was the branch. I was looking forward to that branch. Okay, you know, you don't belong to the world anymore. Okay. My truth is teaching you that. It is. Teach them your word, which is truth. If you're a disciple, how do I say this? Sometimes I'm an old school coach, and I've got to filter that. You know, I grew up in a generation where coaches were mean. They told you to do stuff, and you did it. If you didn't, they did it meaner. You know, that was how we grew up, right? Any old guys in the house, I'd say, yeah, we did it. Hey, I can't be that guy for Jesus. So I want to say this. It says, teach them your word, which is truth. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, I highly recommend you read his word daily. And never let it go past weekly. Why? Because how are you going to remain in him if you're not remaining in him? And if you're not remaining in him, then any one of us could be pruned off. And oh, goodness. So you reading your Bible keeps you saved? No, reading your Bible keeps you remaining in him. It gives him an opportunity to speak dad stuff to you. Or dad stuff to you. You know, it just depends. Yeah, that. Just as you have sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. I am sending them into the world. And I gave myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. Our job is to do a really good job, not just in here, with each other, where we have grace, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love each other, and we try to have each other's back, you know. But we got to take that to Walmart. And I'm telling you, Costco, sometimes that's even harder. Costco's a survival of the fittest. Why? Because even the ladies that love shopping go, don't make me go to Costco, you know. We got to. Why? Because it's your job. You got to take the love of God to Costco. Oh, don't see it. Next scripture, John 17:20. I'm praying not only for these disciples. So here's Jesus talking to the Father right in front of the guys. He's right in front of them, and he's having a conversation with the Father. He says, I'm not only praying for these guys. And he says something so powerful. It just hits me every time. But also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. You know who Jesus was praying for at that moment? If you know him as Lord and Savior, raise your hand up. He was praying for you in that moment. Because he said, I didn't. He said, I'm praying for all those who will ever come to know me by their message. They're on my heart right now. Before I go to the cross, what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about them. Is this love that I'm feeling? Certainly is. Jesus was praying for me. I pray that they all will be one, just as you and I are one. One love. No, don't do it. Don't break out into that now. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. I didn't know Abba was going to be sung today, so it was fantastic for me. Just in you as I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I'm in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. How are they ever going to believe in Jesus? Because Pastor Sean preaches fire messages. No. It's because it's not true. Second thing, how are they ever going to know? Why? Because we have great t-shirts. We have t-shirts for days. No. That's it says, they're going to believe that Jesus was real and who he says he was because of you. Say, I am the church. Yeah. I think the seeking to be closer this year is so important. Seeking to be one with him, so important. Being unity with each other is so important. Like, we don't compete, right, with each other. We start completing each other. Right? Rooting for each other, cheering for each other, praying for each other. Man, down now, man, going through something. Danette's back. She's still out there. So-and-so needs a hamburger. Get him a hamburger. What? Ed's got sniffles. So who's got chicken noodle soup? I'll pray. He doesn't want my soup. Okay. Just one, you know. Jesus' words shape our lives. They're supposed to shape our lives like that. It's not something we read and go away. It's supposed to shape and change us. Right? It's supposed to. John 17:22-24. I have given them the glory you've gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know. It's very hard for me when I see believers of different denominations, even, and maybe some different things, beating each other up on social media. All that did to me before I knew Jesus was like, see, I don't want any part of that. I got a dysfunctional family. I don't need to find another one. Being honest, I don't need another one. Man, how are they going to know? Because we're going to be the kind of church that loves that way. We're rooting for other churches. We pray for other churches. We encourage other churches. We are the church. All of us, not New Season. We are the church. And sometimes that looks a little different flavor, right? There's different flavors in church. That's okay. I don't know what flavor we are, but we're a flavor, you know? May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Is this love? Is this man? He's saying the Father coming to a relationship with you that you mean as much to him as Jesus. He made a direct relationship, and so often prayer is just like this check the boxes, or dear God, bless the car, the check engine light's on, could you yield that? And Pastor Sharon needs bigger shoes, and so give her some shoes, and you know, help John have pizza today. Amen. And then boom, we prayed. And he's like, that's awesome. Come here, friend. But I'm asking you to come to know me this year, where you wait to hear what I have to say, and you let me say it. Because 100% of things that are never said are never heard. So you've got to go and listen to him a little bit this year. It's a listening season. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you have given me, because you love me even before the world began. That's big love from Jesus. Let it refresh you a little bit. John 17:25-26. Righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. These disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. There's something about that. It's a continuation process for all of us, right? You're not going to be your best Jesus someday. If you catch me like really hungry on the 60, late for something, it's not my best Jesus. I'm not proud of it. I look at my bracelet, I go, be humble. Why? Because that's what he asked you to be. All right, I'll slow down to the speed limit-ish. Ish. I have revealed you to them and will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them. And just stand with me. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, I want to pray over you directly, specifically. I want to pray for all of us. Because I don't know, I say these things boldly, put myself at like a huge risk by going, is he saying that to you? And you'd be shocked the number of hands say, yeah, the number of hands encouraged me because it was scary. Hey, he's saying this in your life. And you go, crickets. He's saying that to me, Jack. But the majority of this room lifted their hands and said, he's asking to go deeper with me this year. He's wanting that relationship. And I know he's been saying it. And I'm going to pray for you because it's exactly what your Father wants. Like, you're not an outcast. You didn't sin so many things that he just, forget it, you're off my grace list. I just fell down last night. Okay, get back up today. The righteous man gets up 7 times. And he goes and gets cleansed. And he goes after the Father. And he runs deeper to him. And the Father runs to him. And they embrace. And they spin around and says, bro! I don't know if they say bro, but in my head they say bro. But that's what he's looking for from you. He's looking for that kind of heart that even if it was last night, you go, Jesus, cleanse it again. I'm running to you and I'm making a plan not to go back there. Why? Because is this love that I'm feeling? So, Father, I pray your disciples this year will be such a good taste, all of us. We go out into this world and we're trying to be the best Jesus we can for our family. And then we go out into this world and we wonder how we're tasting. Father, we need you to infuse us again with love and patience and kindness and self-control. Father, cause us to not be fake pictures of you in the world and to misrepresent who you really are But we're asking that you cause us to be something that tastes really good to the world. It tastes just like you. And that our Father would be so pleased. So thank you, Father, for praying for us. Jesus, thank you for thinking of us right now in this season that we're in, that you thought of us and you prayed for us. Lord, we want you to be so proud of us. So we're asking for your Spirit to infuse us this season like never before. We need a fresh infusion of your Holy Spirit this year to do what you asked us to do. So I pray for every disciple to get fresh connection with you this year. In Jesus' name, say, I am the church. You can be dismissed. Go love on a dad somewhere.